Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, God bless you. God bless you. It's good to be here with you this evening for the Prophetic Roundtable. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. Thank God for this time and this place that we're in tonight to share the Prophetic Roundtable. Tonight, we're going to talk about prophetic seed wars. That's tonight's topic tonight. We're still in our series of the Manifesting Sons, and tonight's topic is prophetic seed wars. Now, the Holy Spirit gave me this topic a couple of days ago, and I was really wondering what direction he wanted to go with regards to this, but we are definitely in a season where God desires us as manifesting sons to come into our proper glory, to come into our proper favor, to come into all of heaven's goodness upon our lives, who we are, what we were created to be, how we were created to operate in the earth. And so this is that time that God is really pushing us. He's really pushing us. He's really pressing us into our next dimension of glory. He's really pushing us. We've been on the edge of some things. We've been on the verge of some things, and God is pushing us. It kind of takes me back to a dream I had a couple months ago where I was talking about God desires us to jump to the next dimension, that the dimension that we're going to is just a matter of jumping, and we don't have to be afraid. I was on the edge of it was like the edge of a street. It was like the whole street, it blew out, and it was the edge all the way across, and down below was other things going on, and I was on some kind of four-wheeler, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, just jump. And it was just so amazing. I got to the edge of that thing and just jumped. Somebody was with me. I don't know who it was, but I said, the Holy Spirit said, just jump. And we jumped. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was injured. We just landed in the next dimension doing what we were called to do. So I'm telling you, it's about this jump. And if you're being pushed in this season, God is he's pushing you purposefully to push you into your purpose. It's an intentional push tonight. And so I'm excited to be here with you tonight. Father, we thank you tonight. We know we don't have much time, but we're going to do what we got to do with the time that we've got. And tonight we scatter and we jam the signals and frequencies of darkness tonight. Father, we release the sound of heaven, an eternal sound of warfare, by giving you glory, honor, and adoration. God, we thank you tonight that we are open to one source in this season. We're only open to one source, and that is of the unlimited light and glory and power and majesty of who you are, God. We stand in awe of your glory. Let us be filled with your doing tonight and forever as we continually come into the knowledge of who you are, the knowledge of your word, God. We're manifesting sons and of an incorruptible seed, and that brings us into a place of eternality, and we're excited about this tonight. Hallelujah. We want to bring forth after our own kind tonight, God. So let this word be a deposit. Let it be a seed that is planted, a seed of purpose, a seed of potential that brings forth much fruit in the seasons of the lives of your people in this and in perpetual seasons, in the name of the Lord. We're thankful tonight again to be here with you, all of those that have joined us. We're excited to have you here tonight. We honor you from all over the world where you're listening from. I saw Germany was one of our new listenerships, and I think we've had you on before, but we got you back again, and so we're excited to have you here. They are listening from all over the world, and we're excited for this type of platform to be able to share of the ministry of the Word of God. So let's jump into this. I had several things on my mind, and I want to start by saying this, that from the beginning, there's always been a battle of seeds. There's always been a battle of seeds. We see it From the very beginning of time, we note that the Father plants a seed. He plants seeds in the gardens. He plants trees, actually, and those trees are bringing forth a particular seed. He plants his man in the midst of the garden. He is of a particular seed. He's made in the image and likeness of God, and so he's to perpetuate and to multiply and to continue after his kind. And so God gives him some orders. He gives him, understand, there was order before there was law. He gives him order. He sets and defines order in his environment, and he tells the man to dress and keep it, to maintain the culture that you've been set in the midst of. Make sure that this culture is operable for our fellowship, for our communion together. And so the man, because of the fall, because of his opening himself up to, I should say, because of him opening himself up to other options, he and the woman, the wombed man, they fall. And so in the midst of this, in the midst of the process of the fall, there's another seed that's deposited in her. And we've kind of gone over that over the week. So if you want to hear the details of that, go into that. But you'll note that that Cain is not of Adam's lineage. He is not from he's not from Adam. And if you want to know more about that, again, you're going to have to go into some of the other broadcasts or hit me up by sending me an email, kingdomambassadors247@gmail.com, and I can help break it down for you a little bit better. But you look in the scriptures in any of the passages where Adam's line is mentioned and Cain is not there. He is the seed of the devil. He's the seed of the serpent who was speaking to Eve. And so there's always been a war for seeds. I love this about the Word of God. It clearly gives us the details. It gives us definition. It gives us a direction, and it shows us a pattern. It shows us not only the patterns of God, but it shows us the patterns of darkness so that we are aware and we're not ignorant of our enemy's devices. And so I want to take you just to Luke chapter 8, 11, the B part of that verse. You guys are too loud. The B part of that verse, Luke 8, 11B, it says this, and the seed was the word of God. And from the beginning, that's what the seed was that was released that created worlds and universes and formed everything that we see and that we don't see. That's what created everything. And so this is important that we understand that the seed is the word of God. But when we look into the scriptures and we look into Genesis chapter 3, we'll note there that there's a lot of things going on there. And one of the things that is important to note, I believe it's around verse 15, it states, why do I hear y'all? I'm live on my broadcast. Genesis 3:15, it begins to have a dialogue after the fall. And it says this, I will put enmity. I'm on Genesis 3:15. He says this to the serpent. He says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. That's the beginning of seed wars right there. I will put enmity. That means hostility, hatred. I will put hatred and hostility between thee and the woman. That's the first thing. And then between her seed and your seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is a really important part. This is a really important part here, because when we start talking about the seed wars, we're noticing that there's a vantage point for each of these seeds. One seed is bruising the head of the other, and the other seed is bruising the heel of the other. Now, we understand and know that based on our reading of Scripture and our understanding of that, which is prophetic, that we understand the nature of this word of the Lord, that it's talking about a promise. Son, a one that is to reset and recalibrate mankind back to his original state. We're talking about seed wars tonight. Set him back to his original state, and that is a man that is holy before God, a man that is in direct fellowship and communion with God, unbroken fellowship. Not just the fellowship part, because see, in the presence of God, there is a release that happens. When we begin to get in his presence, we begin to reflect his glory. And it's based on your ability to continue to drink of the rivers that flow from his throne. It's based on your ability to continue to drink of this Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. Whether you come to that place of full maturation as a manifesting son, and we know that inheritance only belongs to sons. It is our inheritance to walk in the fullness of God, to have the God kind of life, the Zoe kind of life. That means we walk as God in the earth. We decree, we declare, and we create things. We are co-creators with our Father. And a lot of times we just settle for just having a conversation. We settle for having a little bit of fellowship and a little bit of communion and having some kind of title that gives us some kind of look or feel, but I am beyond, and I don't know about you, but I know that most of the manifesting sons, those that are listening to the program tonight, possibly the reason why you're listening is because you either want to be a manifesting son or you already are. And so you're just looking to continue to connect in a place where you can continue to be fed the food of manifesting sons. Can I tell you something about this for a minute while we're talking about seed? Seed grows a specific thing. When we start talking about seed, we're looking at a thing that is in its original form. It's an original state before it germinates, okay, and becomes what it's supposed to become. It's the origin of a thing. It's the that contains its purpose and its potential. Are you hearing me? And this also, a seed also is regarding any propagation part of a plant. So any part of that plant that can be propagated, I know this because I'm a farmer, and you can actually use something off of something else, cut something off of something else, and propagate it or replant it. Long as you reroot it, you can replant it, and it can begin to flourish from that place. But it's used for growing something. And that's what this war is all about. It's about cultivating. Now, the thing has already been created. And again, we are procreators. We are joint creators with the master. But what the enemy is looking to do is to take the seed that's already been formed and to cultivate it. Can I tell you something? Because I have done this before, I know that you can put a seed in a certain environment and make it do certain things. You can cause it to grow a certain way. I had a seed, and I remember this. I hate that I lost these seeds, but I called this seed bubble gum, and it was the green melon. What is that? Honeydew melon that I grew. I had the seeds originally from a honeydew melon that I actually bought from the store, but the Holy Spirit gave me specific instructions on how to propagate this seed, and it actually, when you put it in your mouth, it tastes like bubblegum. It was an amazing seed. But what I'm trying to say that for is to tell you that based on the environment and the culture that you put a seed in, it's going to grow, either grow to its full potential, or it's going to be stunted, or it's going to grow into something else. It just depends on what culture that or what environment that you create for it. If you put it amongst plants that choke out things, it may not only not grow to its full potential, but it may also be choked out. And so we understand that. And so it's talking about here that it'll be a war between her seed and the seed of the serpent. And so when I look at some things about this whole seed and the bruising of the heel and the bruising of the head, well, we know the blow to the head because we understand that the finished work of Christ has already embarrassed the adversary. He's already made an open show, and so we have to come into the fullness of that understanding as manifested sons. But I looked up something about a bruised heel, and this bruised heel is a result of one injury or repetitive impacts to the foot. It's usually a sports-related injury, which is participation in this sport can come about on the foot. It puts the foot at risk. And so we understand that the race that we're running, war that we've entered into, this engagement, this contest is for our lives, it's for our souls, it's on behalf of the kingdom. And it actually, we actually go through some things in the process of this war. We actually go through some things that impact us, some things that bring us to a place of damage. And so what the Father is desirous to do, even in this bruising of the heel, and I want to go further into that, is to bring us back to a place of wholeness. And I love how he extends his grace. He extends his love and his compassion to his creation before he releases judgment. He wants his creation to understand that, listen, I love you. I am in love with you. And he is really enamored with us. I promise you, I can prove this by scripture, that God is enamored with his creation. Let me tell you something just from a personal point of view. Anything that I create, I have this this overwhelming adoration for it. I'm telling you right now, so I can't even imagine the adoration that the Father really has for us, because just based on the things that I create, you know, when I look at my children, I have an admiration and an overwhelming admiration and admiring of them. I love them I can't even quantify the love that I have for them. Even when I'm creating things from an artistic perspective, I look at that thing over and over again. If God gives me a saying or something comes out of me, I continue to go over it and to go over it because I'm looking on that thing to manifest the breadth and the width of the thing. And so this is how God is looking at us. The Bible declares that he is mindful of us. His mind is full of thoughts towards us, and that those thoughts are of good and not of evil. He's constantly in processing of thoughts about us because he's got something written about you already. And so he's made you of a perpetual seed, of an incorruptible seed, and he wants you to operate from this place of incorruption, of perpetuity. But we've got to come to the place of understanding who we are so that we can operate from that place. And that's what the finished work was all about. It was about us understanding that the place that we were in, all of the things that we were connected to, even our families, you know what I'm saying? There are things that go through the family bloodline. There are things that go through the family line that God wants us to just be absolutely separate from. This is where that verse comes from, unless you hate mother and father and all of that kind of stuff, you cannot enter the kingdom. It's not talking about you physically hating your mother and your father. It's talking about hating where you came from as far as the genetics, hating the line, hating the stuff that comes through the lineage, not being a partaker of those things, turning your back on those concepts. And Abraham was a clear view of that, a clear picture of that, by how God called him out of his father's house. And he didn't have no big to do about that. He didn't make no big fight about it. God had already planted a seed in him. He already understood, was beginning to understand who he was. His father was an idol maker, and he hated the idols. Matter of fact, if you read in some other places that the Bible talks to us about, you could actually read it. I believe, I'm not going to get into that tonight. If you read in the book of Enoch, I'll say that, and some other places where it gives the backdrop and of some stories that are in the scripture. And the book of Enoch is mentioned, just like the book of Jasher and a bunch of other books that are mentioned in the Bible that are not in the canon of scripture. But if you look into those things, then you'll get a bigger story on how Abram hated those idols and how he crashed them and dashed them to pieces. And that's actually what God is desiring us to do in this season. I've got so many notes here, but I know I'm not going to get to them all, so I'm just going to allow the Holy Spirit to just take my hand and lead me down this path. He's desiring us to dash to pieces the idolatry, the abomination of desolation. He is desirous of us to dash to pieces those things that exalt themselves above who he is, above who he's created us to be even, because that's really what it's about. It's about us coming into the fullness and to the understanding of who he created us to be. And you really, when you begin to understand this, there are just some things that you despise. There are things that you despise. He said, I'll put enmity, hostility between you and the woman. I want to go back to this bruised heel for a second, and we can see this dynamic all throughout scripture. We can see it with Balaam, you know, how he desired as a false prophet to curse the children of Israel. He was called to curse them. He was given incentive to curse them, but he could not curse that which was blessed. Cain and Abel, another scenario of the seed wars, okay? And we see that amongst a lot of different passages. That's what all the wars are about right now. They're about that. There's a battle for the seed. It's a battle of the seeds, I should say. And it's a battle to put proper context or proper perspective on the thing that is being created. What the enemy really wants to do from the beginning, he wants to create this context of creating an environment or a culture for him to continue to perpetuate darkness. What it's about for us is creating a culture that continues the kingdom of God, and it brings the souls of men back to their original state. And so let's go back to the bruised heel part for a minute, because, again, I know I'm not going to get through all of this. The bruised heel scenario, when a heel is bruised, there is a bone that's in the foot. It's the main bone. It's the largest bone, and it's called the calcaneus bone, and it's the bone that bears most of the weight. And so what the enemy is interested in doing when he strikes the heel of mankind, that's not just from the beginning. He's done it to all of us. He struck all of our heels at some point in our life. And if we could just take some time to retrospect, we could identify all of those seasons where our heel was struck, okay? And we can also identify those seasons where our heel came down on his head. That was the overcoming. But that bone bears the weight of the body. And what happens is it affects the ability or the agility of the movement of the person. Because when that bone is impacted, It restricts the ability of the smaller tarsal bones, which means it affects your mobility. And that's what the enemy is looking to do. He's looking with his seed, and we understand that the seed is the word of God, but there is also another seed that's continually being released, which is the same seed that was in the garden that was talking to Eve. And so when we start talking about the fruit that she ate, we're talking about words. We're not talking about an apple or a pear or something of that nature. We're actually talking about words, and we can prove that because the Bible declares in Proverbs 18:21 that the power of life and death are in the tongue, and those that love it will eat its fruit. Are you hearing me? Proverbs 13:2 also says a man shall eat the good by the fruit of his mouth. When we look at fruit, we're always talking about a seed, and the word is always the seed. There's always something being released, and it's something that's to be consumed by the person that's hearing it. And so what the enemy is interested in doing in this season is to continue, well, he's always been interested in it, but he's even more so aggressive in this season to try to deceive you by the seed. this, because when we're looking at what's going on around us in our environment, there are people that are saying they are of God. They are releasing a seed of darkness. They're releasing your ground. Your belief is going to determine whether that seed flourishes, whether it's choked out, whether it survives, whether it reaches its full potential. All of that is important. And so it's important that we understand that we're living in a society that all around us are these different powers and different forces. Some of them, or many of them, are portraying themselves or posturing themselves, pretending, masking themselves to be light, but they are not light at all. And I'm going to get into a subject that I had no plan on until this afternoon when I was talking with one of my ministers on the phone. And I'm telling you, I didn't wake up this morning like thinking about this, what I'm going to talk about on the broadcast, and I can't give you no kisses right now. This was not on my mind, but as I was talking through this thing, as it dropped in my spirit, and as I was having a conversation about it, it was just so heavy on me to say something about this tonight, because this is just one of those areas where the heel is being bruised and people are off center and they're off balance. Their mobility is being messed up. I want to say this. We've got this big deal in this season to worship. He says you must worship in spirit and in truth. That's how you worship. And we are to identify as believers who those people are that are worshiping in spirit and truth, because we have to judge our connection with people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because we have to judge our connection with people, then we have to judge the fruit of trees that we're looking at, and we have to know who they are. Hold on 1 second. Son, can you come get Channing? We have to judge their position and judge where they are in order to know how we're to relate to them. Okay? So we've got all of these different comments, and I heard somebody else say that, you know, we shouldn't be tripping on the connection, because maybe that person wants to connect, you know, and that person is showing light and truth and fruit, and so that person wants to connect with their fruit. That is not what the industry is about. That is not what the Christian music industry is about, and it's certainly not what the secular music industry is about. So I'm going to need people to knock off these games, okay? The reality of Scripture is this. Can I share some points with you tonight that came to my mind? Okay, so say we want to talk about this from the angle, because we're talking about who can tell people how to worship and all of this different thing. Okay, well, we've already dispelled that myth, but here's where we need to go. Sit down, grandson. Sit down. Here's where we need to go with this. Let's go to Ephesians really quick. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. I got a bunch going on, and I promise you, we jamming frequencies of darkness tonight. I don't care what's going on in my environment. I'm going to do what I got to do. Hallelujah. I'm going to do what I have to do. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. And these are the things. This is, you know, how the enemy works. He wants to jam the frequency so that things don't go forth the way that they need to go forth. They don't come across the way that they need to come across. Get your brother. Son, get your brother. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Take him to your mother. 5:11. It says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Rather reprove them. Hallelujah. I'll be right back. All right, Ephesians 5:11, it says, have nothing to do. Now, I want to say this because I know people like to take the word and try to make it what they want to do, but the Bible declares, even in this passage, and you can go read the pretext and the post-text to keep it in context, because I'm not out of context tonight. It talks about you were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So first of all, we have to understand what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. So we have several passages here to deal with tonight. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In other words, we have that same word in 1 Timothy 3. It talks about what the word is for, how it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, evidence, you know, prove that it is what it is. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If we go all the way to verse 5 and 7, I want to read this. It says, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." So here we are Here we are. It says in verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So we have a context and a framework here for how we're to associate with people. All the way at verse 7, I'm going to say it again, be not ye therefore partakers with them. So now it gives us the context for how to deal with people across the board, okay? Then if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, because I know some people are going to say, well, how do you know that Nicki Minaj is not a believer? Okay, well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go there. I want to go there for you because you guys seem to have your own concept of how God works and how he operates. So we need to throw the Bible at the quote-unquote believers. We're not throwing it at the world, and because I'm not having no beef with Nicki. She's doing what she's doing. She does what she does, and she's not having any issues about what she does. But what I am having an issue with is the fact that people don't think that they should be judged. The Bible declares that we're not to judge those that are without, but we're to judge those that are within. And so tonight we're going to talk about seed wars, but we want to make this statement before we get offline, just so those that have ears to hear are clear about what we're looking at in this present day church. This is what we're looking at. So y'all can come at me whenever you're ready, because I'm ready for you. This is what we're called to do. This is what we're called to do as manifesting sons. And I'm so hot right now. I'm so heated right now. I can't even find the verse of scripture because I'm so over people contaminating the word and making it fit what they want it to fit for their own desires and for their lustful passions and their own situations. Okay. Listen to the words of the song, by the way, when you get a chance. I just heard it the other day and I'm still baffled that people would take this and put it in this context and then have this sex icon on the end of it and say, this is what we do and this is how we reach the lost. Okay, lies, and we're not doing that. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 13. Let me read that to you really quick. Your glorifying is not good. He's talking about delivering such a one unto Satan. Satan, who is this person? This is a person that says they're a believer, that is reportedly, there's commonly that there is fornication among you, and these things ought not be. So there are some things that ought not be, and because these things ought not be, this brother is in a place of compromise, and so this needs to be dealt with. He says to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your glorifying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven, I want to start there, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So if you think that as a lump that you can bring in darkness, you can bring in darkness into your lump and think that you're not going to be contaminated, you've got another thing coming. Read that all the way through. It says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, because I know you want to use that passage, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, but then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I've written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, okay, I'm going to stop right there because I only got like 60 seconds. So if you're calling her a brother or a sister, her lifestyle alone prevents you from even eating dinner with her. So that is the end of that. We're talking about the war of seeds, the prophetic seed wars, and I want to talk so much more about some more things, so we'll do this next week. We'll come to part two. But I love you so much. I thank God for you. And if you need to get in touch with me, kingdomambassadors247@gmail.com. Listen, I love you. God bless you. Until the next time we come together, you are blessed, and I don't want you to forget it.